Shabbos, we spoke about the apparently contradictory attitudes that one is supposed to experience. On the one hand, that insatiable drive to totality, accomplishment, perfection, that striving for perfection should be with every fiber of our being, with all the fire in our hearts that we can muster, perfection, totality. Meretzin is wegen Averes. We're not talking about Averes, but Gadlus, Shlemus, and Tere, and Midas, purity. In Tshuve, we maschil b'tshuve, and the minyan from how one is pervaded and possessed, should be possessed with an unquenchable thirst, an unbounded drive to attain the Gemar HaMitzvah. And on the other hand, we spoke in terms of making every effort to, we spoke in terms of that constant threat that is posed against us by adopting and by abiding and by imbibing such a kind of a philosophy, such a kind of an attitude, such kind of an approach of totality, of beauty, of greatness, of starting something and completing it, setting a goal and attaining it and achieving it with persistence, with relentless persistence. We pose the, we try to describe as vividly as we can the dangers that lurk in the path of an individual who embarks upon such a goal, with such a reference of mind, such an attitude, because the Yetzirah exploits that very drive to destroy us, to devour us, to put obstacles in our way. And then because we are so rigidly committed to this ideal and realizing that it's so distant from us and beyond our grasp, even if it's external circumstances or the lack of our capacity to be able to attain it because we fall short, and we tend to fall into desperation and to give up our efforts because we come to realize, well, this is beyond me and my goals are too high and I just can't make it. And we use that expression of Lo Yalecha Amlocha Ligmer, while the quest for Torah and the quest for Shmitzvahs and the quest for accomplishment should be to the greatest and to total completion. On the other hand, Lo Yalecha Amlocha Ligmer, you do the best you can, you do your utmost. I want to say that perhaps erroneously we have misapplied that term when we move to another area, when we move to the area of correcting one's deficiencies and one's faults, while the same bind, the same paradox, and the same attitude is supposed to experience, because there too we're caught in the same problem. But I just want to avoid a misunderstanding. The term of Lo Yalecha Amlocha Ligmer does not apply. Lo Yalecha Amlocha Ligmer only goes to Legabe Torah, Legabe Mitzvahs, Legabe positive accomplishment of total achievement in a positive sense. But in correcting one's faults, of course, our purpose there, even more so, we must be extremely careful, because in that area we certainly have to exert everything we can, and our striving and our aim must be for totality, nothing short of totality. We must correct every fault that's within us. Achmon Slan, every Isa that we do, every evil that we do, every piece of Lashon Hara that we talk, every moment that we become in Kas, every greed, every kin, every taiva, every sin, every anger, alles we have to correct in Ganz. But on the other hand, again, we have to be careful. Soyos speaks about this and says that Rabbi Soil in Oyer Soil in letter number 7, where he suggests we should learn Musa based pilots. How do we go about doing tshuva? How do we go about correcting ourselves? And the first step is to learn Musa, and to learn Musa based pilots, and to learn the halachas of every area, in which area we are somewhat deficient. If we are not very honest, there's something missing in honesty, something missing in chesed, something missing in kine, we ought to learn the halachas about it. So I want to learn two things. First, to learn the inyonim of Yiras Hashem, Unavas Hashem, Mechesed Hashem, Yiraso Enish, the Sifrei Musa and Yira Dadil in generalities of Emunah and Bitochun, Bekus Bashem, and Yiraso Enish, which Rabbi Soil used to emphasize very much. Certainly we ought to emphasize that in Yemeho Elul by Meroim. And let's, Rabbi Soil, you know, we try to keep it so distant from our minds, but it's, we've got to bring it to us so closely and so lucidly, so vividly, to know that there's a day of reckoning that every one of us will have to face. And it's oye v'deiro. It's beyond human description. Life and loss of love. We're not destined for eternity, to live eternally. But he said also that we should learn be'iyun unhavone di haloches, where we find ourselves mostly deficient, because this iyun of iyun un emek un daki dakis and arayntun sich in these haloches, if we're deficient in certain yonim, if we work on this and the haloches pertaining to them, so that is, inspires one. It does enter into the subconscious and lends great strength and reinforcement to be able to stand up in time of great stress and challenge. So it's the Sifrei Musar that deal in general with Yiras Hashem, and also the yonim pertaining specific aspects where we find our weakness, that we have to learn the halachas regarding it. If it's honesty, we have to learn Hilchas Gzeilah. Hilchas Gzeilah with all its ramifications, with all its details, with all its profound reasonings, because that has an inspirational effect upon the emotions, that one becomes sensitized and extremely sensitive to this inyan. It's Hilchas Shabbos, because this is why Abbe said that it is very advisable that we should learn halachas with Negei Lamaise very carefully. Chofetz Chaim, Loshon Hora, which is something that attacks us daily in our traffic of life, which is something that's so extremely difficult to avoid. So besides the spilos from learning limit amusa the spilos, one should learn the halachas. Sometimes we feel, well, it's not long days, or we find difficulty in getting the seder going in the two or three times a week that is relegated to the libud of Chofetz Chaim Loshon Hora. We find difficulty in getting together on it because we find that this doesn't satisfy our intellectual curiosity, perhaps. But digging into those halachas and again and again and again and again has a very sobering effect, and it has hits deep roots into our being, so that it should build a bulwark within us against Loshon Hora. And so on and so on, and all the halachas. And it says like this, so in other words, it says the first thing is that we should make a strong kabbalah, really neder, to learn Musa b'Yispailus, and that's why we have to learn all the halachas, we have to keep the halachas dorim, in Hilchas Shabbos, in Hilchas Tefillah, in Hilchas Loshon Hora, which is just halachas, any halacha, and learn it b'Yun, this sensitizes us. This makes us possessed with a sensitivity to its aspects, to its kiyum hadavar. This has a very great psychological impact upon our being. But then he goes on to say that we have to be able to ward off that pitfall, that the Yitzhahara, that hindrance, that the Yitzhahara, always obstacle that he puts in our way. This krankheit, he calls this disease. This disease of yush, the disease of desperation, he sows with great dexterity in our path, the disease of desperation that paralyzes all our efforts. Well, Musa doesn't help me, and I tried not to talk Loshon Hora, and I fell through, and I tried not to get in kass, and I fell through, and I made an effort here, and it didn't work, and this doesn't work, and I learned Musa, and it doesn't work, and this I failed, and this I failed, and I made a resolution, a New Year resolution to learn the Asmoda and to keep this Dolam, and this I didn't do, and this I didn't do. Abbeisai, this is Maise Sotin, this is Maise Tzahore, so how do we approach it? So Abbeisai says like this, that And he also another etzah he gives. So he says like Abedim Yush, Lechela Yush, there's no Gela disease than Lechela Yush. So it's up there to relieve that Lechela Yush, up there we have to realize. You know what Rabbi Soil said, and saying the name of Rabbi Soil, it pays to live a lifetime of learning Musar if we can only, if it will spare us one time talking Lashon Hora less in the whole lifetime. I worked and I horavet and spent so much time in learning Musar, but through my lifetime I spoke one time Lashon Hora less. But the Yisrael tells us, well, you haven't accomplished anything. You haven't done anything. You're wasting your time. It's meaningless. This is the disease that is pervading us. This is the sultan. This is sultan incarnate. This is the most potent weapon in his arsenal of weaponry that he employs against us. It's the machle. It's a disease. Disease. When a person is diseased, there's nothing he can do. This is a disease of desperation, of yush, failure. The moment we fall, that's when he strikes us, when we're down. He kicks us where we're down and says, you see, you are a failure. But we fail to recognize that we have accomplished a great deal. We fail to attribute that invaluable significance to any step that we have made. And then Rabbi Soil gives us a very good etzah in general, especially in the Yemei HaNevoim. He says, most of the avodas that we do, and they are most chmuras, is those easy things. Because that's the greatest enish. If there was no great temptation, there was no great challenge, there was no great drive to do it, and yet we carelessly commit them, that's the greatest enish. So those kalois, he says, those are areas that are really kalois. And if we're not careful, then they become chmuras. They're the greatest chmuras, because look, it was easy for you not to do it, and yet you did it. So it means you're callous, you're careless, you don't care. And there's so many things, he says, that most of the avodas that we do is things that we could avoid. Something that is a keder nesoyin zokta is sometimes less enish, because it's a terrific nesoyin. So we can zokta focus on these things, on the kalos. And Chalapoches, he says, that he says in letter number 6 at the end, he says, at least we should learn Musar so that it should leave a ration on our subconscious, it should delve into our subconscious, will a hagil atzme, and to become trained, to be an eye, to be develop an eye, a trained eye, lahashkif al drochov, to be able to examine and analyze all our ways and all our behavior and all our conduct. We should be able to distinguish and recognize what is difficult for us to do and what is not so difficult for us to do. What is just that we, a little slight effort we put into it, we can avoid it. And Ashaloch HaPoches, Yazreyu HaMusri, Lishmer HaTeru HaMitzor, Bepchines HaKalus. Those that are kal, those that are ease, not so difficult to abide by. If we would concentrate and focus and see that those things that are, at least let's do those things that are easy for us to do, so we will come to the day, Lipchina Bar Tshuva B'yema Kippurim, Chlapoches B'kabolos HaZivis HaChed B'pchina HaKalos. It doesn't mean that it says we will only go for the Kalos. We will only try to refrain and abstain from doing those Averes that are easily avoidable. But it says, at least let us do that. And through this, that will be the stepping stone that the Rebishter will help us. We have to rely on the Nevashtin. We've got to have Bitochen. The Rebishter will help us to be able to overcome the Kvedos, because they're so difficult and we feel that it's beyond our reach. They're so hard, they're so challenging, and our strength is so weak, our backbone is so brittle that we can't stand up. It seems to us we can't stand up, but the Rebishter helps us. If we will have Bitochen Hashem, and we will do our utmost, and we start with the kalos, and we hope for the best, the Rebishter will help us that we will be able to master and conquer the kvedus, those that seem beyond our reach, we'll be able to conquer that just as well. We rely on the Mevashin Savtoche, kol habole tayo mesayin oise. Whoever makes an attempt, whoever tries, I tried the kalos and I want to conquer the chmures and I've done my utmost, the Rebishter will help me, I'll be able to do it. That which seems beyond our reach. So it's to together with the bitochen that we can continue and avoid the machlef on yush. And it says about the machlef of yush specifically in letter number 7, that he says the same thing. He says that he should try to do the kalos asher tatzilenu miyisurim koshim amorim rachmon etzlat. Those kalos, let's concentrate on the kalos, to do those things, to loy musa, as I say again, to loy musa v'ispailos in general, to learn the halachas that's pertaining to the special deficiency that I have, to learn halacha and muser, and to learn mishneh berurah, so we know the halachas. And it's not only that we know the halachas, but it's learning and it's havana and it's thinking into it that inspires us, that gives us, that ignites within us the power to be able to implement it, to be able to mekayim, makes them part of us. It's a kind of psychological impact. It's an emusar in itself. Borsi tavlin Torah tavlin loy. He says each Torah has its tavlin. If it's hilches gzele, now if you're working by becoming hilches gzele and b'metzia and hilches gzele, and thus we become sensitized to it. It becomes part of our subconscious makeup. So this will help us, he says, and we should concentrate on the mitzvahs kalos. Why do we do things that are easy for us to be able to refrain, and we're doing it, it's akbal de kaver, and sometimes I would like to add, but I want to finish what he says. So this is the machle of yush, so b'mele this should take off the machle of yush because we feel great accomplishment. However, he says, and this is very interesting, that he says like this, okay, after he says, he should, just like a businessman, doesn't he try, or a person that works very hard, because he says in Musar, that's also one of the essays of Yisrael Salanter in Musar, that we have to take an example, we have to be perceptive, and we have to observe life and apply it to our spiritual being. You see a person in business, that he works very hard, he doesn't spare effort to ease his burden, even if it will only ease his burden. It will not remove his burden, but it will slightly ease his burden. Or one who is ill, the Chofetz Chaim gives another mashal. The Chofetz Chaim says, if one does an aveira, like a soldier in battle, or one who's facing a mortal enemy, when he's in the throes of a mortal battle for life and death, and he's wounded, and the spear strikes him, and he feels that blood is gushing out of his wound, then what does he do? Does he drop his weapons? Because you know that will mean that he's dooming himself to death. He keeps on struggling, he keeps on fighting, because a wound can heal. When a person is dead, there's no hope. But when he's wounded, he can heal. So the pshat is, he should never lose hope. If we fall, if we fail sometimes, it's always says, well, you're licked. Look, you've made such an effort, and you're licked, you might as well give up. It's beyond you, you're too weak, you are not sale, you're weak-kneed, your flesh is too soft, there's no strength, there's no backbone, there's no stamina, you have no power, give up the battle. Can you stop Lashon Hara? Can you stop Kaz? Can you stop Taiva? Can you stop this? All these things that he throws at, can you even do Tshuva? Can you have Charote? Can you even make Kabbalah resolutions? Meaningless, it's dumb, lip service, you're fooling yourself, whom are you fooling? New Year's resolutions, it doesn't mean anything. He's using Shekia. If we will learn, we try our utmost, we learn Musar, and we try to do the learn the halacha, and we try to do the observe the colors that we can easily overcome. The Eibishter will help us. And that in itself should give us strength, because we have to recognize that we are doing something that is extremely important. And on the other hand, he says in the same paragraph toward the end of the letter, he says, "Ochei." That arduous, that incessant, relentless drive of total mobilization, and that fiery aim for achievement of totality, of removing every vestige of avera from our behavior, that should be within us, that should be constantly driving us. We shouldn't be masiach one split second from that, and yet that should not interfere. It we can balance our being. The Eibishter helps us that we can live within that drive, within that fire that's moving us to leishomem ma'averus legamre, that we should be tzaddikim gmurim. No shemitz of avera we should do chas v'sholem. And yet we can proceed that the Yetzahore should not outwit us and outmaneuver us and outsmart us, and because we are possessed with that drive, he throws us casts us into an abyss of yush, of total loss, of total mental and emotional collapse, that we cannot begin to move. But there's so much that we can do, and as we start to do, the Rebbe will help us and lift us and airlift us to be able to reach totality. So this is a chlamaise, that this is our handbook of life. This is how we, Abentere, and every Jew is supposed to go about it. To find that great satisfaction in that what we do, what we can accomplish, and hope to Hashem that our Ebshter will help us, we'll be able to do the Kvedes just as well. And strive for it. And not be over, strive for it with such a strength, and yet not to cross the threshold of desperation, where we throw in the towel and we give up, throw down the guns and the weapons, and the Yetzer is all over us. So I basically, every one of us, also Gedenklach, we should remember that each one, there's inyan in Musad Zerin of Tachpules and Eitzes, you know, in writing down, each one perhaps writing down, or they're learning the Cheshbon Nefesh and making Cheshbonos, you know, the Cheshbon Nefesh has done certain ways of doing certain things. Things that a person is suited for him, like Rabbi Soil says, every man has to look for himself a certain Eitzes and Tachpules, how to conquer Kas, how to work on Taive, how to work on Gaiven, how to do this. Besides all the Sifalim and Amusa, and besides everything else, there are certain ways to study from the world of business, to study from the world of acquisition, from the world of materialism, to take their means and their ways of how they use every area, mechadish everything to be able to accomplish and reach their goal, or to accomplish even a little bit, to apply it to us in our quest and our search and our drive for ruchnis. Rabbi Soil Sarante also speaks about a number of areas, about this general Indian of this paradox. Our life is completely full of paradoxes. But the Rebbe Shtar created the human soul. This is where the Yetzer Hara exploits to his fullest advantage. Our paradoxes. It's a paradox. Am I going to be a paragon of virtue, or shall I satisfy myself with a little bit? There is no stira. It seems to be a paradox, but it isn't. The Ebishtha is so constituted the human in its complexities that it can live and exist within that framework. I wanted to mention, based on certain things which seem minimal and small, but we have to be careful, which, if Cholila, it's so avoidable, it's so easily avoidable, it can cause Cholila something, but because Shiva Light Speziel Bnei Torah, we have to be careful the way we conduct ourselves. Even small things sometimes, if we are criticized, it's not nice, it's not chain. There's such a concept, even was Nishto, Shinshto Kinisa, but it's not chain, it's past it. You know, I dress myself to something that's very minute, and it's something that, you know, we ask everybody to daven with a hat and with a jacket, by tefillah. The Lanty Mishnah Berurah says it's a derech kovet, it's a union from kovet. I don't know his face about Atzis Soil, but here certainly it's an inyan of kovet. I'm not discussing Atzis Soil, but here it's an inyan of kovet. In their mokim, certainly that's it, with a hat and with a jacket. There's some people who have special davening hats. A hat that you wouldn't wear, which is mentioned, except for davening. For Anebas, that's the hat. It's a special davening hat. That's a drape that has no kvonim, has no shape, and has no face. That's the one he puts on his head. That's special for davening. That's for the Mevas. That's the way he comes to the Mevas. That's the kovet that he manifest by putting on a special davening hat, which he wouldn't wear outside anywhere, let alone to the flame elochim. The answer in is the flame elochim, so he has a special davening hat. And Vital is a smell haloch in yeshiva, but if he comes outside to daven someplace else, davrach the stomkin hat. I people don't recognize that as in the chain in Balabatim wear hats, and as Kumsai Shiomara. Well, not so well, they go without hats, they have neakiri. I don't know, but here it's Nishkim Na'akiva, and here people expect Abed Terah to wear a hat sometimes. They state in Mishnah Berurah, as they state in Halochet. well, now it's different, used to be, now it's different, I don't know if it's different. No, we haven't accepted that difference. We don't practice that difference. And so it's, that's such a small thing. It's not doesn't require a great effort, but it can be chalila ra'derech more. If it causes chalila achil Hashem, it's a yeshiva man. Look at a yeshiva man. Look the way he looks, the way he davens, the way he goes. When it comes to Shemensh, we have to be careful. We would appreciate to know that yeshiva man shouldn't dress too loudly, as if, that's chadova kal. But it could be chalila ra'derech more. If it's nitchein, it's very loud, it's gleich kommt ein Psa, I'm shooting a style today, all kinds of styles that come out, the first one to put on, it says, it's in the chain, be dressed, bathing, it should not attract attention, it should be nice and clean, well kept, but not especially outstanding, or to be loud, to rise the evening, to focus attention upon him. We'd appreciate if people would come elsewhere, you know, where people do walk in a certain mechubidik me'efin, you know, with ways to affairs or to chasnes, you should wear hats. I don't think it's past for a yeshiva man to. It's some carryover, some influences from the outside, or maybe some drochin that some segments in Eretz Yisrael practice, and I think it becomes the minig olam. I question whether this becomes a minig olam. It's certainly akuta sofik that. I feel that one should be extremely zoya. That's dvarim kalim. So dvarim kalim, to be careful that as a ben teira shouldn't chalila make a chilul Hashem when he goes outside. People shouldn't say, look, he's a ben teira, look the way he looks, and look the way he acts, certainly the way he acts. As I mentioned before, the yonim fun paradox. Here we have a paradox. Rav Salanter says, there's a paradox of COVID. A person is supposed to run away from COVID and be insensitive to COVID, and yet when it comes to someone else, he'd be the greatest connoisseur, as if he studied in a special university, Hilchis psychology, what kind of COVID a person wants. He knows every nuance that affects a person and makes him feel good and pleasant in COVID. He's so learned, he's so knowledgeable. It comes to himself, he doesn't know what COVID is all about. So Temkishaychis doesn't mean anything. Where's the sensitivity? Where's his feeling? I'm hurt. I'm this. I'm not mechubed. I'm not respected. I'm taken advantage of. This is when it's pertaining to him. He says, it is. He recognizes that this is a paradox. But again, this is one of those things that the human, the Eibishter constitute the human so that he can live with this kind of paradox. It isn't really. It's only superficially. There's something here, something of great importance that I think is important to our life, that I would like to mention today as we are nearing the days of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Something I would like to mention: we have to be very sensitive to other people, and very insensitive to us, or at least as it comes to us, we should be able to counterbalance that sensitivity. A state in Parshas Kisetze, 24, Pasuk Yud Zay. So the Sifurna says that Loisate Mishpat Gir Yosef Losavo Chel Amona means like this. The Esarim, when there's a machleke, you should be careful. Hizoya, that's Pasuk Yud Zay. A person who is in a state of depression, person who is browbeaten, downtrodden, one who comes from a disadvantaged situation, from a position of weakness, and he's faced with a contestant who is strong, who is powerful, who feels secure, who is well balanced, and he faces him in court, he faces him in a dispute, in an argument, you will always find himself at a disadvantage. Because he's browbeaten, he's downtrodden, he has no prestige in the community, in social standing, he's not appreciated, he's poverty-stricken, he's deprived. As a tzibroch and a mensch, he's a broken, shattered shell of an individual. There are so many people that walk around like this in the world. So many of us. Because so many of us, we cannot take the vicissitudes and the problems and difficulties of life that breaks us down to smithereens. And even if we try to to make an appearance of outward stability or equilibrium, a strength, it's only an outward show. But internally there's a hollow shell of brokenness and depression and insecurity. And it manifests itself. And one is supposed, the Dayan is supposed to be extremely sensitive to this. And when two individuals come before him, because this one is an underprivileged, undernourished underdog, he is not in an equal position. He cannot stand up for himself, or his mind doesn't even function effectively to be able to counter even what is true. He's kind of numbed, he's kind of paralyzed, he's kind of a disadvantage. And one should be sensitive to this disadvantaged individual. Psach picho le'ilad. In that case, I have to help him. I have to assist him. So he says that we have to be sensitive to that. Otherwise, it's le'sate mishpat. It's amamish. I am uprooting truth. I am miscarrying justice. Because I am not fear, because this person is disadvantaged. So In last week's Sedre, when we bring the Bikurim, we say in the video, Bayarash, the Rebbe Shad Gizen, on Yenu Vlachatzenu Amoleinu, on Yenu Vlachatzenu. So the Sipuna brings the idea and he says, look, the Rebbe Shad responded to you and was very sensitive, profoundly sensitive to your pain and your anguish and your shiflus and your brokenness. Why? Not because it was coming to us, but because the Rebbe Shad was responded and felt the unser Tzar, Vayaras Hamoleinu Veslachtzeinu. He saw our pain, he saw our torment, he saw our anguish, he saw it, so he went with us, Lefnim Yishoh Sadin. He saw unser Zerbrochenkeit, he saw our Elendkeit, he saw our helplessness, he saw how underprivileged we were, and how deprived we were, and how downtrodden we were, how beaten we were. So the Rebbe Shtar assisted us. One has to develop, so you have to, Mahu Achum, Afator Achum. We have to follow the midos of Hashem Yisbarach. So if the Rebbe Shtar responds to that beaten one, to that lonely one, to that helpless one, we have to imbibe this kind of midah and become sensitive to the needs of that helpless one, the one who's underprivileged, the one who's deprived. So this is the mitzvah of the Teozok. Hesus Hatzmahu Afator. We have to feel that way. So we have to be alert to that and feel it. Feeling yenem sar, feeling yenem svetok, feeling yenem soves. To be responsive, to be alert, to be aware. You know, we are so numbed, we are so paralyzed, we don't even notice that someone is in pain. We don't even feel that someone is disadvantaged or someone is anguished. We don't even see it, we don't even realize. All we would need is just a little bit of observation. If we were attuned, if we were trained, if we were geared, we would see, we would feel, we would hear, we would be able to assist people, we would be able to become Vaidho. Imagine if one isn't a person that is extremely sensitive to the pain and who's so refined and so tender that he can register any kind of discomfort and pain in the one who's underprivileged, he's mamish not makya yetzias mitzrayim. He's not makir chas Hashem. He cannot say and come and bring bikurim and to say Rabbeinu Shalom vayares hamoleinu v'slachtzeinu. How can you say it? The Rebbe Shtar, he's makir what the Rebbe Shtar did to us. What the Rebbe Shtar saw our pain, and that's why he came to our assistance in Mitzrayim, not because we deserved it, not on the basis of our mitzvahs. It was because we were so downtrodden, because we were so beaten, that the Rebbe Shtar saw our pain, our anguish. And this, if we don't understand the human anguish, then we don't understand Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then we don't know what we sit down Pesach about a Seder, we're missing the whole point. We don't know what we're talking about. We're not Margish Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this is how sensitive we have to be to someone else's pain, someone else's tzar, someone else's feelings. When it comes to us, our tzar, and no one can escape it. No one escapes tzar. The Mesillas Yesharim says that throughout life, no matter what the Yetzer Hara pictures for us, no matter what he tries to to set up a scene of imagination that we will be in a millennium of bliss and paradise, and we'll conquer the world, and we'll sit on top of the world, and we'll enjoy every pleasure that the world has to offer. This is all shekya, this is all falsehood. No matter what position we are, no matter what we do, our life is full of vicissitudes, of struggles, of disappointments, of disillusionment, of tsar, of anguish, of torment, of torture, of all kinds of tsaras. And it's almost a daily affair. We're constantly hurt. Constantly there's a deluge of arrows that pierce our hearts, constantly, every day. Someone insulted me, someone hurt me, someone did this to me, someone took advantage of me, someone had this happened, I lost this, I lost that, I could have been this, I could have been there, I'm not recognized, I appreciate it. I'm kiseid of moletza, especially when we are filled with kine and sine. So mamish, we are wallowing in pain, we're wallowing in tsar, we're wallowing in anguish. We have no lives, mamish, we kiseid, we're stewing in our bitterness. So the Medra shares also in Tanchume about by Shiluach HaKam. There's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKam. So in Shiluach HaKam it says that ki yikore kan tzipa lefunecha ba'derech lohem revetz shaleach teshalach eseem lesabonim tikach loch laman yitav loch v'arach to yomim. So that Rebbe Shtel will bless us with good, with longevity, and with all good blessings. So the Chazal say, Amod Nezach, it's a Medrash Tanchume, and this Indian in the Pasuk says it. Oma Abchir Barabe, Umadoch Mishi Mekayem Mitzvah Sheluach HaKel, Madoch a man, a person who's Mekayem, the Mitzvah of Sheluach HaKam, Nemar, it says about him, L'mayitavloch, the Rebishter promises the blessing of all that's good. Yitavloch, he will endow us, he will, with gifts, with his blessings. Odom sheneiz bnoi, Allah has kama v'kama. A human being who had nishvak chas v'sholem chalila, in fact came eating that the greatest misfortune, he lost a child. Allah has kama v'kama, sheikh hapeloi. Allah has kama v'kama, that the Rebishter will bless him in my yitavloch, with longevity, with all that is good. To understand what is the comparison, what does it mean? It appears to me, Abbe Sai, that shaleach tishalach esayim, a human being, when he's mekayim the mitzvah for shaluach hakam, he has sustained the loss. He sent away the aim. He could have had both. He could have had the bunny with the aim. He sustained the loss. He did not take the aim. He sent away the aim and he took the bunny. So he gave up of himself, he gave up, he sustained the loss. So in Chazal, Allah has kamo v'kamo, one sustains a loss in his life, Rahman Salam, suffers anguish, suffers the greatest torture that Chazal describe, of course, Rahman Salam, of the loss of a close one, someone that's close. That's the greatest human pain that is unmanageable. So this greatest human pain, so if he does it in the mitzvah of Sheluach HaKam, if it's done, if he accepts it as Sheluach HaKam is accepted, in other words, he accepts it so the Torah considers it as if he was Meshaleach HaSakam, he gave away, because of the mitzvah of Sheluach HaKam, he gave away the aim. Now if a person suffers Yisurim, if a person suffers Tsar, the greatest Tsar that Chazal portray is Rahman Tzlan, the loss of the close one. And a close one, that's a child, that's the greatest loss that a person can sustain, humanly possible to perceive, of pain, of anguish. But if he is mekayim the mitzvah, if he's mekabel berotzen his tzores, his torture, his mekabel berotzen from the meibashten, then it's considered as if he brought an akede. He's like Avraham Avinu, because he was mishaleach. It's not that he just took it. He gave away. He gave, just like he gave the aim, and which is the slightest loss in material things. And if a person gave away his child, idach halachas kama v'kama. So if a person, the Eibishter takes something from someone, and he gives it, it's as if he gave it. It's as if he brought a korban, and that's the greatest korban that a person can bring. Shalech tishalach esem is the smallest description of what self-sacrifice means for Hashem, the smallest kol. The smallest between the greatest, the halachas kama vekama. If he's mishaleach the em because of the mitzvah Hashem, so if he's mishaleach his own part of his being, lekavod Hashem, that's hakedah from Avraham Avinu. This means he brought a kol. And he says, Adar Eibishter, if a person in his life, and as I said before, we all of us sustain constant pain. If we accept it, if we appreciate the fact, like the Rishonim tell us, that it's min hashamayim, einodem nekiv etzboim amato, kimachis nolem emailo, if we understand if someone insulted me, I shouldn't be angry at the one who did it because he's only ashliach Hashem. He was only doing, it was coming to me, and this is for me a kapore, this is a kapore of my ravenis, this is min hashamayim, and he's happy with it because I am giving my life. I am giving my pride. I'm giving my honor. I'm not only giving my money. I'm giving my life. I'm giving my heart. I'm giving my blood. I'm giving my pain. I'm bringing a korban to Hashem. Shaleach tishalach haseim v'saborim tikach loch. Yiruch malach shaleach tishalach haseim. So we have such a bocha. We have such assurance. If one gives of himself, if he faces life with strength, if he faces life with bitochen, if he faces his daily routine of tzar and anguish, with doing his best and appreciating Hashem, kol ma'adov rachmon aletav, we have no brother, there's the greatest, the best friend that the mind cannot imagine. The closest to us is the Rebbe Shtar. Nitkin tate, nishkin mame, nishkin bruder, notkin child, nothing. But the Rebbe Shtar loves us the most, is most dedicated to us. And if the Rebbe Shtar, all the tzar comes from Hashem. This is coming to us. It's for kapora, it's for a meaning. And I am taking it, which means I am taking it, I am bringing a korban. Domoi v'nafshoi. What is a korban? A korban means like he brings, as he should consider as if he brought domoi v'nafshoi. When he shechts the korban, and when he brings the dam, and the volume of the korban, it's considered as if he brought it himself. If a person takes the tzar, and he swallows his pride, and he swallows his weitok, and he's mikabel yisurim v'ave, it's like a korban. It's like he brought an arcade. I gave it to the Nevashtim. It's not the Nevashtim that took it from me. I gave it to him. And if I give him just the aim, if I just sacrifice the aim, I get such a schal. And if I sacrifice myself, so you'll tell me, what does self-sacrifice mean? I will tell you, the greatest self-sacrifice a person can do is to be the Kabbal Yisurim B'Yahavim. That's the greatest self-sacrifice. That is the greatest korban that we give to Melech. I give myself to him. I have nothing more to give him. I give myself to him. My pain, my anguish, my tzar, my fallenness, my depression, my disadvantages, whoever takes this advantage of, I give it to him. I give it to Hashem. This is the greatest korban that I bring. This is an akedah. I'm bringing myself an akedah to Hashem. My korban is only after imagine as if I did it. Dome v'nafshe. This is mamish dome v'nafshe. If one is mikabot tzar, and he doesn't become bitter, doesn't become depressed, he doesn't become hurt, he stands like a rock of Gibraltar with betochem b'Hashem and emune, and recognition that everything is b'Hashemayim, then it is mamish, he brings a korban to Hashem. And the Rebbe Shtar will give him Arichas Yomim Vishonim with everything that is good. With the Kavachema Bemnishal Kavachema from Shiluach HaKan. Abesai, as I mentioned in the Shmuyis before, if we can eradicate Kine and Kaive and those, how much tzar do we spare ourselves in this world? If we can take, like mentioned, like the Torah expects us to take, the problem of life, to take it in stride, to take it from a point of strength of Emunah B'tochem B'Hashem, how much schar does one get? If one would recognize and realize how much schar that means, that is bringing a korban to Hashem, and the Rebbe Shtar to me get an opportunity to bring a korban, we are inspired to the Mevashni, shouldn't send this surah upon us. But if we experience this, and we do constantly experience that, as the Mesil Shisharim says, if we take it properly, it takes off the bitterness from us, we don't stew in bitterness, we live in happiness on the one hand that we suffer, but we know that we suffer for the greatest purpose in life, to serve Hashem with our own self, to serve Hashem with our korban, to serve Hashem with an akedah. There's no greater mitzvah, there's no greater schus in the ganze Welt. This gives a person such strength, such power, like the Rock of Gibraltar, that the greatest storms cannot budge him. The greatest storms in the world cannot knock him over, cannot crush him, cannot destroy him. Because he knows that just this feeling, it comes by Hashem, and he gives of himself to Hashem, and the Rebbe should appreciate that as a comb, as he gave it, not that the Rebbe should took it, but Shaleach to Shalach, he sent it away. I gave it to you, Rabbeinu Shalom. I gave you myself. I gave you a comb. It's not that you took it from me. If I don't rebel, and if I take it like a mensch with bitachon emunah, it means I gave it to you. How much more beautiful would our life be? How much less depressed would we be? How much more simcha would we have to be able to be in kind the mitzvah of Ivdus Hashem, Simcha, and Shlemus?